Let me tell you something. When America opened the floodgates and let all us Italians in, what do you think they were doing it for? Because they were trying to save us from poverty? No, they did it because they needed us. They needed us to build their cities and dig their subways and to make them richer. The Carnegies and the Rockefellers, they needed worker bees, and there we were. But some of us didn't want to swarm around their hive and lose who we were. We wanted to stay Italian and preserve the things that meant something to us, honor and family and loyalty. And some of us wanted a piece of the action. Now, we weren't educated like the Americans, but we had the balls to take what we wanted. The J.P. Morgans, they were crooks and killers too, but that was the business, right? The American way.
Shedrick Mohammed. Shedrick Mohammed.
We take yours while you pout about it. Truck, step out, please, run a crowd around it. You can see me on Optimum TV. Go on your back from turn the light out, scream Bloody Mary, 1, 2, 3. Chic ain't your usual friend, but I can set you up like Kaiser and walk straight at the end. I'm done with ice and chunks, I'm trying to ice my whole cash when I'm gone. Pull up with class,
Shedrick Mohammed.
Meet him, I greet him, kiss your feet for freedom. Tell him thank you, Lord, cause on earth I was getting bored. Now resurrect me back to this pack or sheet, so I can make this album and get back the cats that speak. 2:30. 6-2, me bunch for you, that's like a cat versus a pit bull. Gun, no flip bull, keep hunger and plan for the future, cause you figure you gon' be older way longer than you gon' be younger.
Keep it alive, money pounds,
Shedrick Mohammed.
Eating live, money pounds, bet we'll be eating right. Money pounds, bet we'll be deep at night. You'll see the light, keep it alive. Money pounds, bet we'll be eating live.
Shedrick Mohammed. Shedrick Mohammed.
Only time to tell how the clock ticked. I really love hair, but I'm still a hostage. Two personalities, check the posture. Smoke out the mouth, flare out the nostrils. Think you're deaf, the life seems scary. I pass the graveyard, seeing people here merry. I ain't chilling till I'm out parachuting. Race my man in my own climbing for about 10 diamonds. 25,000 apiece, forget street. Trying to own the island, forget about wildin'. Try riding in the car that be gliding. If I showed you where I live, you would think I was hot as sling brick. The chicks that don't speak English, wake up in Trinidad, like touching, I'm rich. Come back, private jet, live on set.
Shedrick Mohammed.
Money pounds, bet what you eating live. Money pounds, bet what you eating right. Money pounds, bet what you deep at night. You'll see the light, the key to life. Money pounds,
Shedrick Mohammed.
Bet what you eating live. Money pounds, bet what you eating right.
Yo.
Money pounds.
Shedrick Mohammed.
With the hotness, whenever we drop this, monotonous for y'all to keep hating, cause y'all never gonna stop us. I keep my rock spotless and my girls topless. Take time, try to figure out who the lock is. Spare no one, kick rhymes like Shogun. You're scared to blow one, get raw with your own blood. If I don't respect you, I'ma check you. And if I don't kiss you, I'ma peck you. Right before I wet you, I sneeze on tracks and bless you. I'm special, and if you like working out, then I'm gonna stretch you. Hustling is dead, but we still get red. Dirty spots in the bakeries. Get back bread, and y'all said my money's spent, but it's in the vent. So when the feds come, the dogs can't get a cent. And my story, self-explanatory, that I'm the hottest thing on the street, and y'all ain't got nothing for me.
Key to life, yeah. Money pounds, bet what you eating like.
Shedrick Mohammed.
Money pounds, bet what you eating right. Mm-mm. Money pounds, bet what you sleep at night. You'll see the light, yeah. Key to life.
Shedrick Mohammed.
Money pounds, bet what you eating like. Money pounds, bet what you eating right. Money pounds.
Let's just suck with the ill. I'm up, know my skill. X from the grill, hit him up, split him up, wet him up, watch him come.
Shedrick Mohammed.
Set him up, when you do dirt, you get dirt. Trick, click, step back like I did work. Take a bluffing game, you take a plan, can you land? To where they jump,
Shedrick Mohammed.
Mom's at home praying, coming home, but you not. You sitting up in the trunk, starting to rot. And hell is hot, though, because I'm here now, baby. It's going down, baby, get the 4 pound, baby. And let off up in the... If he think he's bigger, get my mother trigger. Can I
Shedrick Mohammed.
Get gone, DMX representing one
money
time
lie. Money pounds, bet what you eating like. Money pounds, bet what you eating right.
Shedrick Mohammed. Shedrick Mohammed.
June 17th, 2009, I want to welcome you to the Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee program. A lot of first time viewers already emailing me and commenting, and welcome you. As I say frequently, you are the most important person in the room to me. Each week that we do this, that we're blessed to do this, a lot to talk about. I got about three rants in me. Dante Stallworth, we got to talk about this today. Got to talk about it. The new Mos Def album, got to talk about that. President Obama gave an interview to CNBC yesterday. We want to talk about that. A mental massage, perhaps. And Joshua Clotty, Miguel Cotto, I saw that travesty of a fight. Any listeners in Ghana right now, I'm with you. I feel your pain. But we'll talk about why Miguel Cotto deserved to win that fight. It's about the science of business. Never leave out the dollar. Speaking of which, I had a almost Holy Ghost-like inspirational experience listening to the great Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys. He's inspired me. I think I may touch on him first. Bill Jefferson, we're going to talk about the $90,000 of cold cash money, my brother. And I love William Jefferson, Congressman Bill Jefferson. I think the first member of Congress, or second, to give BlackElectorate.com an exclusive interview back in 2001. I have a lot of respect for Congressman Jefferson. He also gave me free tickets at a Congressional Black Caucus event I could not get into. His family, I think, gave up two. Omar Bongo. What does this mean for the evolution of the African post-independence state? I want to build extensively on something called the Least Developed Country, LDC. Post-colonialism, post-imperialism, have Africa, Asia, Central South America taken the proper steps to move away from the LDC economy that's been prescribed for them? I'll go into some of my proposal for the African Union in a single currency. I touched on the LDC economy, least developed country, what it's all about. But I want to acknowledge someone at this time, salute, give peace and greetings to this worldwide audience that we have growing each week through no help of any marketing arm. Strictly the people's choice. Alaska. Yes, you all know I'm basically, that's like stomping grounds, Alaska. Gary Walken, Soldotna, Soldotna, Alaska. He sent this in over the weekend. He says, Cedric, I play your program for my staff on Saturdays in the office. We build roads for the state of Alaska. Thanks for the diversity of topics and your killer humanist position. Your brother in the north, a white Slavic male. Gary. Gary Walken from Alaska. My white Slavic male constituency growing each week. At this time, I want to say peace to all of my pro-economic growth, white Republican intellectuals who tune in. The problem that I have with ideology, as we've talked about before, political ideology, because it's a, I think it's a controlling modality mechanism. When I say political ideology, I mean left, right, center. We've talked about this. You can catch the archives to get the 101 on this. The left, right, center political ideologies don't reflect human nature accurately enough. All of us have a would I say, a fascist side to us, a totalitarian side, a socialist side, a conservative and a libertarian side in our nature. But when you force yourself to fit into only one aspect of that spectrum, then you are depriving yourself of a full expression. You will never be able to identify yourself in light and interest when you are forcing yourself to fit into a construct that is inherently limited. So I tend to not really enable or participate in political conversations that are heavily constructed along the left-right-center continuum. Not that it's not useful, it just doesn't reflect accurately what I find to be universal and human natural principles. So for my white Slavic male from Alaska, Gary Walken, who listens to this show with his staff on Saturdays while they are talking about their work, which is building roads in the state of Alaska, for him to understand and appreciate what he calls my killer humanist positions, I must give you a standing ovation early in the show, my brother Gary. Alaska, stomping grounds for me in this show. Now, how this works, you can tune in to the story, log on to the stories at blackelectorate.com, cedricmuhammad.com, blackcoffeechannel.com. We'll talk about a few of these things. Going to get into the BRIC meeting that took place recently involving the nations of Brazil, Russia, India, and China. That's what BRIC stands for, B-R-I-C. Are they the new counterweight potentially for the West and a declining America? I think the jury is still out. I wouldn't bestow the crown upon them just yet, but they do have some of the fundamentals to warrant a close look. Brazil, Russia, India, and China. The new kids on the block, so to speak. Would I love to have been a quote-unquote fly in the room when the leaders of those four countries and their foreign officials, financial ministers, got together to discuss the declining dollar. Of course, I have an evangelical message of hope and liberation for all you professionals delaying the entrepreneurial pull. You will be forced to become entrepreneurs by necessity in this economy. I don't usually tune into programming right before I come on air. I try to get into my zone. I try to focus in. I pray, determine what it is that I want to talk about. And it tends to be a discipline last 2 or 3 hours. But early this morning, I got a call from a friend of mine. If you haven't checked it out already, go to blackelectorate.com. New York Daily News, T. Styles, Tanja Styles, who has been a person who's appeared on this program, a good friend of mine who understands the difference between fashion and beauty. Fashion and beauty, if you don't know the difference, we'll pull out for you a 1962 Muhammad Speaks article that will let knowledge be born on the difference between fashion and beauty. But unrehearsed, I asked Sister T. Styles, Tanya, to break down for me the difference between fashion and beauty. I thought she did an excellent job. Those of you haven't heard that, we'll put that on a best of clip. She's quoted in today's New York Daily News about the Michelle Obama effect. Read that article. It's the number one story in culture, sports, blackelectorate.com. Tanya Styles of the Michelle Obama effect.net said that there's a reason why the first lady is one to watch. Michelle Obama's style resonates with everyday women for the same reasons her husband won the election: accessibility. There is something kind of real about Michelle Obama's, pardon me, the dark and lovely queen, I call her. Her representation and engagement with the people seems to be very down to earth, take it or leave it. I'm going to wear whatever I want to wear. Whether it is tight, right, or too bright, I will rock it regardless to what the cameras have to say. Many of you women out there saying amen. I hear you. So let me get to this audio that has me had me almost catch the Holy Ghost. So not only did I get a chance to talk to T. Styles before I came on, I also caught this clip of Jerry Jones. I hope to make a point about how political ideology limits you. I'm going to let Jerry Jones teach. He was on CNBC discussing the new Dallas Cowboy Stadium, which, by the way, somehow is the host of the All-Star Game, I believe, next year. Jerry, teach. Take this message to the people.
Well, the Dallas Cowboys begin playing in their new stadium this season, and thanks to Cisco Systems, the stadium will be one of the most technologically advanced ever. Here with a sneak peek and a first on CNBC Interviews, we have John Chambers, CEO and chairman of Cisco Systems, and Jerry Jones, owner and general manager of the Dallas Cowboys. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Trish.
So tell us about this new stadium.
Jerry? Well, I will start off, and you'll have to stop me as excited as we are about it. But architecturally, we wanted this stadium to represent technology. We really wanted it to represent and have an immediate image of media. In my 20 years in the NFL, you couldn't separate the football in the NFL from the impact that media has had on our game and the way we play to it. I make you a case the NFL is here today because of the ability of the people that see it on television. But this stadium represents that architecturally. It's contemporary, but architecturally it represents strength, it represents finesse, it's totally glass. The end zones retract. They're 120 feet high, 180 feet long. Those glass doors retract. The roof retracts. The entire curtain wall is glass. So there's a finesse that we like to talk about in sports, but there's a strength. There's a huge structure. It's the largest stadium that's ever been built. It's over 3 million square feet of enclosed air-conditioned space. And how that fits with the topic today is that our relationship with Cisco, their advanced technology, and with the things that we can not only put in place structurally, but that we can put in place right now to have our fans have an experience. We really are playing on the sensory aspect of our fans.
Listen, you're both my capitalist heroes. And by the way, Jerry, Alan Sloan has invited me down to his box for the opener. So I'm real excited about that. I will, however, be rooting for the New York Giants, I'm sorry to say. But Mr. John Chambers...
Well, you'll be the only one.
I understand that. No, it's great to see both of you. John Chambers, when I go to this game, I want to really enjoy the game. Tell me how the technology advances that you are integrating with this great stadium are going to work. You're not going to complicate life for me, are you, John? I want to really enjoy the game.
Well, Larry, it's CEO idiot-proof, which means if I can do it, you can do it. And what Jerry has done here, it will be the model for all sporting venues of the future. It has skipped not just a generation. It really captures, as Jerry said, our sensory capability. You have over, at the end, 3,000 high-definition TVs in here, a scoreboard that is to kill for. Your experience will change in terms of everything from concession interface to the sporting events to how you interface the players to others. And it is built upon an architecture which allows tremendous flexibility. So one day you can have a great pro football game here. You could then switch to the NBA All-Star. You could switch to the Final Four in basketball. You could switch to a concert. So it speaks about venue flexibility. But it's all around how the network changes business models. What Jerry got so much ahead of many of his peers, he was able to understand how the technology changed fan experience, but he realized where the industry would be 5-10 years
out. It's most definitely an impressive stadium, but you know, it was expensive too, the most expensive in history, costing more than $1 billion. Jerry, are you concerned in this economic environment that you won't get a return on that money, in that, you know, it's difficult to find one, to even just the naming of the stadium is an issue, and selling these very, very expensive seats. We know Larry's got one, but you know, it's a tough time for the economy. So how does that factor? There you go. How does that factor in?
Yeah. Well, first, we're very sensitive to the times, and as it should be. But our fans and the people we've invited and asked to come and be a part of our suites or our more expensive seats, they recognize this as a long-term proposition. This is not only years in the making to have the stadium, but addresses years in the future. One of the things that the NFL can't become is a studio event. It's got to have all the aura and the pageantry of a great event. We've got to have thousands here. We'll be able to have 100,000 people in this stadium. We'll be able to sell over 125,000 Super Bowl tickets for our big Super Bowl event that we're going to have here. But here's my point. Here's the point. We had to make the social aspect intertwine with the technology that we have available at home. We wanted to take that technology wherever we could, certainly with John and his great company, and we wanted to make that a part of the experience, the social experience of interacting with 100,000 people.
Well, look at you two are two of America's very greatest businessmen, okay? I got to ask you, John, do you have any economic recovery visibility? I'm going to ask Jerry the same question. It's a big question up here on Wall Street. Fred Smith of FedEx tried to be optimistic in his profits report today or his guidance, but he thinks it's going to be tough. John Chambers, Cisco, how do you see the world right now?
Well, Larry, I'm going to put just a little bit of additional detail around the question. Companies who lead have to be innovative, and they've got to be very good at operational excellence. And I think both Jerry's organization and Cisco, both of us do that remarkably well. So as Jerry alluded earlier, you don't make any decisions on the next quarter or this year. You think 3, 5, 10 years out. And that's really what you see in our combination of how we together can begin to change how the sporting experience changes, the revenue streams, etc. To answer the economic question is no one knows for sure, but there was remarkable stability, and I'm not updating Cisco's guidance in any way or commenting on the quarter, but there was remarkable stability of businesses, whether they're small restaurants, medium-sized companies, or others, both in this country and around the world, with the exception of Western Europe. So over the last 120, 150 days, you have seen business start to level out, and it has to level out before it can go up. I think how governments spend their stimulus money can have an influence here. And then it really comes down to, Larry, will businesses have the confidence to hire?
Right. Hey, John, real quick question for the end.
At the end of the year.
Did you ever think about ponying up there for those naming rights on at Cisco Stadium?
I would be honored to be a partner with Jerry in many ways, but I like it better when it's Jerry setting the pace in terms of the uniqueness of the architecture, and we're kind of behind the scenes. We are the plumbers in the past, we're the business partners of the future, and I couldn't be more pleased with the relationship.
Let me add one thing. Sports have always been a respite in hard times, a respite. Yep. It's known as that. And in a strange way, if we can look to the future with a stadium like we have, it's certainly about betting on the future. We're going to have to sell our way out of this. We all know that. I'm talking about the economy in this country. And we're going to sell it with confidence, as John. And there's no more driving a stake on the moon of confidence than to build a $1.15 billion.
We got to hustle, Jerry. We got to hustle, right? We got to get out there and hustle. We're not victims. We got to get out there and hustle. I love what you're saying.
Now, let me give you the knee-jerk political ideological reaction to what you just heard, which is, one, Larry Kudlow, a Republican. So therefore, I can't learn any lessons from the CNBC programming because he's a Republican. Two, Jerry Jones, when he built the stadium in Dallas, he did not hire enough minority contractors. I know you all. Oh, I know the teachings. 10% of the construction contracts for this stadium did not go to African Americans. That's the political ideological knee-jerk reaction to what you just heard. But those of us who have political ideology on one sleeve also have sports allegiances on the other, never thinking business. Why? How can you have a favorite team and you don't understand the dollars and cents behind what's driving the profit and revenue, the business model of your favorite team, but yet you can denounce somebody in terms of political ideology? Come on now. I love that. This man built the biggest sports stadium in America during a recession. That's why he had T.O. signed. That's why he had Pac-Man Jones and what was the other brother? Tank Johnson signed. He didn't care nothing about them. Damn it, we got to sell tickets to this new stadium. You feel me? This is business 101. And I thoroughly enjoy Jerry Jones' insistence on selling yourself, selling your way out of the situation, hustling. That's what Larry Kudlow said. Hustle and sell your way out of there. Is that your motto? I respect what I just heard. Let me put emphasis again on the key part, in case you missed it. Why do you think the Dallas Cowboys did that agreement with HBO to be featured as Hard Knock? What was that thing, Hard Knocks? That HBO special that follows NFL teams in training camp. Why did they do that? He's exposing his brand. He's saturating the market with images of the Dallas Cowboy, reestablishing them as America's team. It's about money. I don't want to hear nothing about ideology. And then for this man to have the audacity or the confidence to do this in a recession, he knows he's got to go even harder. And that's what you were hearing. If you have any comments on that, let me know. I find things like that to be useful to bring to the table. Sell your way out of this. Don't beg your way out of this. Don't put all the pressure on Barack Obama. He's got to create 3 million jobs. 4 million now, right? Or else we are going to die or something. Sell your way out of this damn thing.
Sports have always been a respite in hard times. A respite. Yep. It's known as that. Mm-hmm. And in a strange way, if we can look to the future with a stadium like we have, it's certainly about betting on the future. We're going to have to sell our way out of this. We all know that. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the economy in this country. And we're going to sell it with confidence, as John. And there's no more driving a stake on the moon of confidence than to build a $1.15 billion.
We gotta hustle, Jerry. We gotta hustle, right? We gotta get out there and hustle. We're not victims. We gotta get out there and hustle. I love what you're saying right now. I just love it. Get out there and start moving.
See, I've been getting a lot of very thoughtful commentary and feedback about the state of black nationalism or black power, and I understand, I appreciate that kind of a dialogue, but this is more where we need to go, because to have an intellectual debate over whether President Obama on balance is good for black people or not, it's an intellectual abstract argument that has nothing to do with the reality of what's going on in your neighborhood and your bottom line and the bottom line of your company. So that's a little something for the entrepreneurs. One more time.
Sports have always been a respite in hard times. A respite. Yep. It's known as that. Mm-hmm. And in a strange way, if we can look to the future with a stadium like we have, it's certainly about betting on the future. We're going to have to sell our way out of this. We all know that. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the economy in this country. And we're going to sell it with confidence, as John. And there's no more driving a stake on the moon of confidence than to build a $1.15 billion.
We gotta hustle, Jerry. We gotta hustle, right? We gotta get out there and hustle. We're not victims. We gotta get out there and hustle. I love what you're saying right now. I just love it.
When I hear something like that, I don't think Republican, Democrat, communist, libertarian, conservative. I think human nature, the economy is going down, jobs are being lost. I have to take on the responsibility to create a new reality. And this is the same discussion that we'll have on Africa and on Central and South America and Asia and the BRIC nations, Brazil, Russia, India, and China. In a way, they're whining. I'm sorry to disappoint. I know a lot of people like to see America lose its power, but Brazil, Russia, India, and China, in a way, are whining. Because they have been dependent upon storing their wealth in terms of the U.S. dollar. So they can talk all they want about creating a new reality, and we can applaud that, but it ain't there yet. America would have to come down a few more notches before whatever Brazil, Russia, India, China may come up with as an alternative, or Africa, or even Europe. So let's not get carried away with what this really is. You can put on a Che Guevara t-shirt all you want. You can talk radical progressive ideology all you want, but you're going to have to get out there and build something. You're going to have to sell people on a new reality. I had a good conversation with a person you may hear from later on today. We were talking about how hard this is to try to persuade people of a new idea when they are emotionally wrapped up in another, even to the extent that you will have people who know inside out why we should do something new, and that we should do something new. I'm talking about all people now, not just black people. Yet they can't, there's no animating spirit or activating principle that compels them to move beyond rhetoric and words. Why? What's missing? See, it's easy to be a fan of the Dallas Cowboys or not. It's easy to love or hate a move made by a sports team. It's another thing to look at something like the salary cap. It's another thing to look into why a stadium is being built in a certain part of the city. It's a whole other matter to consider the promotional and marketing plans of sports teams, and then not just doing that, but then applying it to your reality. Now, I'm out here in Washington. These people out here are absolute maniacs for their sports team, for the football team. I try not to say the name. Now, Philadelphia Eagles are my favorite team. Crazy, the allegiance that we give that team. But we talk to Jeff Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, and we talk about Donovan McNabb signed and not being signed as if the Eagles are spending our money without our permission. Jeffrey Lurie, owner of the Philadelphia Eagles, ain't thinking about you except to the extent that you buy his product. That's why I played that interview from Jerry Jones. I know I will have to explain myself, so I don't mind doing it for a limited period of time. But when you can start accepting the responsibility and creating an economic model that's viable, not just rhetoric from the 60s and 70s, but something that can activate and organize entrepreneurship, promote community development, build people up, employ brothers and sisters coming home from school, from prison, the incarcerated, clean up the homeless and the poor of all races, invest in the human capital of Caucasians, Asians, Mexicans, Indians, blacks, so that people are not wasting away their potential. That's a whole nother level. Stop expecting President Obama to do that by himself. Not going to happen. One more time.
Sports have always been a respite in hard times. A respite. Yep. It's known as that. Mm-hmm. And in a strange way, if we can look to the future with a stadium like we have, it's certainly about betting on the future. We're going to have to sell our way out of this. We all know that. I'm talking about the economy in this country. And we're going to sell it with confidence, as John. And there's no more driving a stake on the moon of confidence than to build a $1.15 billion.
We gotta hustle, Jerry. We gotta hustle, right? We gotta get out there and hustle. We're not victims. We gotta get out there and hustle. I love what you're saying right now. I just love it.
Okay, now let's talk about some people who are hustling the wrong way. Let's go over to Germany. Sex is selling for less amid the economic downturn. Now, I hope this story does not hit close to home. Berlin, Germany. Let's go to Berlin. And this is the official photo of two prostitutes in Germany that you're looking at if you're getting the video on this. Now, everybody's breaking their neck to come back to the computer. Caucasian female lovers operating in secret right now. I see you. No, I'm going to put the picture up that goes with the story. I'm not going to insert Afrocentrism into this story. This is past midnight in downtown Berlin. And the prostitutes pace in front of the Hackershare Mark store. Signs of a slow economy are everywhere. A sportswear store offers 40% markdowns. And bars advertise discounted drinks. Like so many other businesses, Europe's largest legalized prostitution industry is having to adapt to the economic downturn. Customers are fewer or more frugal. Competition has increased and more clubs and brothels are offering discounts to drum up business. Since late 2008, the number of English and American tourists has dropped and the street dynamic has changed, according to one prostitute in her mid-20s who requested anonymity because she did not want her family to know her profession. She still gets customers, she said, but they no longer pay for the extras. we have to be a lot more aggressive now, said a woman wearing pink jeans and a black corset, who has worked the area for 3 years. The customers used to come straight to you. Now they don't ask you as much. Nevertheless, she said, the prostitutes in the area have been sticking to a set minimum price, about 80 euro or $110 for sex. If he doesn't pay our prices, then he can't go home with me, she said, putting her hands on her hips. It's that simple. Prostitution is legal in Germany, with the same rights and benefits as other professions such as health and unemployment insurance. There are about 450,000 prostitutes nationwide according to 2008 numbers, with 10,000 in Berlin. Streetwalkers like those in the Hackescher Markt make up only about 3%, with the remaining 97% working in brothels, massage parlors, or out of private residences. I guess that's called a home business. Through the demand for prostitute services remains strong. The supply has increased as more people lose their jobs and turn to the profession, said Marianne Detlefs of the German prostitution advocacy group Hydra. The result is increased competition, she said. See, this is business 101, supply and demand. This is going on in America too. I'm trying to make this easier for you to accept, those of you that don't think this is going on in your neighborhood. I had to take you to Berlin, Germany to show you what's going on in your local neighborhood. I'm going to read that again. Though the demand for prostitute services remains strong, the supply has increased as more people lose their jobs and turn to the profession, said Marianne Detlefs of the German prostitution advocacy group Hydra. The result is increased competition, she said. Now let me let me drop this on you all. Do you all have you all ever heard of or do you know of women offering sex in return for child support payments? I know of this. Don't act like you don't know what's going on. I'm in Berlin, Germany right now. Bitteschön. Dankeschön. For those that speak. But I hope to be in Compton, Philly, St. Louis, Kansas City, Dallas, and Vegas with this article. In response, clubs and brothels are increasingly marketing themselves either as high-class exclusive spas or as bargain basements of delight. The capital's biggest bordello, Artemis, is one of the former, with a wide variety of attractions. For an entry fee of 80 euros, guests gain access to a gym, free buffet, a pool, and two erotic cinemas. The sex costs extra, 60 euro or $83 for 30 minutes, with set prices for a variety of other sexual services. On any given day, the bordello has 60 to 90 women working, said manager Vanessa Rahm. What do you think is going on in some of these foreclosed properties? Jenna, 30, a soft-spoken bottle blonde who works there, left a job in hotel hospitality to become a prostitute 2 years ago. Left a job in hotel hospitality to become a prostitute. It wasn't a very fun job and I wanted to try something more interesting and fun, she said, requesting that her last name not be used. Jenna said she hasn't seen a decrease in the number of her daily customers, usually about 10 men. But they have grown increasingly frugal. She has also noted a drop in businessmen customers as fewer attend meetings at a nearby conference center. What do you think goes on by the mines in Africa? Construction sites in Central and South America. You don't think this is going on in your neighborhood? This is what the girls have been complaining about, Ron said. The number of customers is pretty much the same, but men only go once or twice to rooms, not three or four times like before. However, Artemis is working hard at bringing in customers through incentives, such as discount cards and lowered prices for taxi drivers and senior citizens. The incentives have meant an increase in the number of regular customers, Ron said. At the other end of the spectrum is Berlin's Pussy Club Bordello, which has branches in Heidelberg and Wuppertal. Now, I'm just reading the article, which, by the way, is from the Associated Press. That is the name of the bordello. It opened in mid-2008 with a focus on the discount-minded customer, offering an all-you-can-sex flat rate for between 70 and 100 euro, depending upon the time of the day. Customers can enjoy any sexual services with an unlimited number of women. For their work, the women are also paid a flat rate wage. All the girls get a daily wage of 100 euro to 250 euro or $140 to $347, so they don't have to worry about money, which is good in this working atmosphere, manager Patricia Florio said in an emailed reply to questions. She noted a steady increase in application since the Pussy Club's opening, attributing this in part to the bordello's flat rate salary. Many women in other clubs aren't earning enough money anymore, and we offer steady, secure money. Florio said that the pricing structure has helped the bordello avoid any problems despite the global market downturn, and that the number of customers has not gone down. Back in Hackershare, Mark, the American-German prostitute, said she was thinking of a change in location as she bent down to retie the laces on knee-high black patent leather boots with 5-inch platform heels. She is planning to head soon to the United States to work in East Coast strip clubs, saying there was still ample work there as well. I make more in one night just dancing than on the streets here, she said. She's saying the American market is much bigger. Artemis Jenna, meanwhile, said she will eventually return to the quieter life working for hotels, but that she is in no rush to leave the high pay and dependability of prostitution. This type of job will always be in existence, she said. People will always have money for fun. Again, Associated Press reporting that sex is selling for less amid the economic downturn. Berlin, Germany. But this is happening right in your neighborhood. Now, what do you do to stop that? What kind of, first of all, what do you do to admit it's happening? How about that first? It's happening. We admit that we have increased prostitution, some of it going on in these foreclosed properties. How about that for step one, acknowledging you have a problem? Two, where are the men in the neighborhood? What is their role? How do you end prostitution? How do you end prostitution in a poor community? Is there a way? Leave President Obama alone for a minute. Because I think President Obama would probably end prostitution the same way that I would end it. He wouldn't be looking for no government help. Feel me? But you all have family members. We all have family members not telling us. Folks are either a friend or a family member, or someone you work with getting paid on the side. Supplemental income. Tell me I'm lying. Now, where's the left, right, center political ideological construct in prostitution? Greater supply of prostitutes, lower price. Sex selling for less. Send your comments, and I'm going to talk about Iran a little bit, not too much, a little bit, just a little bit. I don't want to get carried away, as the media is got a massive construct going of moderate, hardliner, extremist, youth, democracy, totalitarian type of lingo that I really don't have any interest in trafficking in. But I think there's something illegitimate and something legitimate about what's going on in Iran. It's a lesson to those who try to control culture, thinking of the people with technology. Once technology gets into your borders, it's a wrap. You can forget about it. And I think we're seeing that. Also, there have obviously been individuals in the intelligence community in the United States and others who just do this normally, who have been trying to get President Ahmadinejad out of power. My interest is not in exposing the hidden hand of the CIA. As President Obama said in Cairo, Egypt, 2 weeks ago, that history is known. It's nothing new. But what do you do to stop it if that's what you want to stop? That government is going to have a hard time. Even this alternative leader in Iran, he will have a hard time controlling young people and others who are dissatisfied inside of that culture and who want greater empowerment, greater expression. But there's a culture and tradition and a mode of politics inside of Iran that is not going to just end overnight, whether Ahmadinejad is the president or not. You're dealing with centuries of conditioning, customs, and beliefs that are not going to change overnight. That's the conversation to have about Iran. I read an editorial from the Wall Street Journal today, very interesting, criticizing President Obama. So yeah, I've got the new Mos Def album whipped out. If you like it, let me know. I reserve my comment. I've listened to it twice. New Mos Def album. It's called The Ecstatic, I think. New album by Mos Def. Let me pump a track. One of my favorites on the album. Shoot through whatever you like. Let me know if it's a certain Mos Def track that you're feeling. Mos Def is an interesting artist. I can start there. Joint called History with Talib Kweli. I'm feeling this. It's the hottest show in the diaspora, June 17th, 2009. Let's go.
It's all cool. It's a natural. The science is a joke. For me and mine's yours and yo. Let's move. Say a little bit about my, yo. I was born in a season where the world was quiet and cold. Celebrations were going on. Some were happy, some were sad. Some felt bad from being good. Some felt good from being bad. The feelings passed and changed.
You are tuned into the Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
One more time. That's hot. I got to bring that back one more time. Everybody act according to the season. Mos Def, are you feeling this new album, The Ecstatic? Some at night, some in the morning, some at noon, some in winter, some in June. It's all cool, it's a natural, the science is a joke. For me and mine's yours and yo. Let's move. Say a little bit about my, yo. I was born in a season where the world was quiet and cold. Celebrations were going on. Some were happy, some were sad. Some felt bad from being good. Some felt good from being bad. The feelings passed and changed, but they never leave. They here to stay. Holiday, holiday, happy birthday. Teenage love, the first cup run deep. So long, flesh, this is the Brooklyn Streets. Year of the Ox, 7-3, MD. The history.
Come on.
Every soul got one to dig. It's where you been and where you be. And without understanding, you cannot proceed complete. It starts in the end. Then it just go round again. Again. Again and again.
MySpace slashes jobs as growth slows down. I am going to immerse you all with the science of business today. Business 101. MySpace is laying off nearly a third of its U.S. staff, or about 420 employees, as the once high-flying internet business tries to rein in costs and contend with fast-growing rival Facebook Inc. But as you all know, we read business-oriented stories pertaining to Facebook and Twitter. They will be next, slashing jobs. The cuts will leave the social networking site with about 1,000 employees in the U.S. MySpace declined to say whether it is also cutting back its international operations. in which the company has invested heavily in recent years. Facebook says it employs more than 850 people worldwide. The move comes about 6 weeks after News Corp, which owns MySpace, replaced the site's executive team, appointing former Facebook executive Owen Van Natta as chief executive. News Corp is also owns the Wall Street Journal, and you all know that's Rupert Murdoch. Since then, the new MySpace leaders have found the business in worse shape than expected, according to people familiar with the matter. For example, traffic to the site has been falling more quickly than the new managers had expected. Damn. Meanwhile, a lucrative ad deal with Google Inc., which brings in $900 million over 3 years, is set to expire next year, leaving MySpace scrambling to find new revenue streams. Simply put, our staffing levels were bloated and hindered our ability to be an efficient and nimble team-oriented company, Mr. Van Natta said in a statement. I expect a merger at some point between either Facebook and MySpace or Twitter and MySpace or Twitter and Facebook. Very popular sites, hard to monetize and justify the infrastructure necessary to keep them going, which is not anything unique to them. This is something a lot of companies are dealing with right now. Shane from Houston, I would say one of our more honest commentators in Black Coffee Nation. He says here in Houston, the prostitutes operate out of low-income Latin bars, massage parlors out of the city limits, and internet activity. If we had casinos here in H-Town, this would be the Sin City of the world. Shane is responding to my reading of the article from the Associated Press about sex selling, but selling for less, Berlin, Germany. Maurice from Philly, he has got the new Mos Def album, The Ecstatic. He likes the songs Pistola, Roses, No High Nada Mas, and Wahid. Wahid, No High Nada Mas, Roses, and Pistola, the four tracks on the new Mos Def album that Maurice from Philly is feeling. Maurice from Philly, Glenn from Philly, whoever else is out there from Philly, I'm so pleased to report that the 76ers did what I knew they could do, what they should do, what they had it in them to do. That right there, Jason Capano. The Sixers went out and got them a white sniper. Just as I need a white Caucasian male shooting my three-pointers. Jason Capano, we sent out the evidence on show prep. This man is the NBA long-distance three-point shooting champion. I am enthralled by this move. That's him right there on your screen. Could this be the man with Elton Brand backing cats down low in the paint? Andre Iguodala slashing along with Thaddeus Young. Jason Capano, the white sniper. Is he the missing piece to get us back to way over 500? Cedric Muhammad, Black Coffee Program, hour number two on the way.
Cedric Muhammad.
Cedric Muhammad.